Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a while, topping the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never going to get without the sir, because I'm showing enough. In the background, knowing that I'm going to give it everything.
Welcome to another episode of the Podcastianos. I'm Jordan Hall. And say hello to the man with the tan coming to us live from the wonderful city of Lakeland. I'm assuming it's Eric Wayne. What's going on?
Well, I've consumed a lot of beer and have absorbed a lot of sun. So if I hallucinate mid-podcast, I apologize in advance.
If you do that, do you think our quality will go up or down?
It will be awesome. I don't recommend taking drugs, but if you're going to and listen to a podcast, this is the one episode of ours that you probably should.
So how many games have you seen so far?
Well, I've seen two full games and a non-game.
Gotcha.
Was washed away. So the stats counted even less than nothing. Spring training stats don't matter, but then those weren't even to the level of spring training stats.
I know. I actually went back like an hour It was canceled to like try and, you know, have the box score to see like what happened, and it was already gone, just completely wiped away to the annals of history.
Yes, we've always been at war with East Asia or whatever it is. It's like Big Brother is changing. You know how like Stalin got rid of people in photographs? That's what happened to that game. No, we do not want any statistical or photographic evidence that game existed.
Absolutely.
And I drink enough beer where it's pretty washed out of my mind too, so we're good.
Are you a berm guy or do you live the seat back kind of life?
No, I'm a berm guy.
Nice.
Certainly the berm, because berm, you get, I'm a fairly large individual. You know, I'm tall. I want to stick my legs out.
Yeah.
I want a little spot for my gear. I bring a backpack with some water, you know, so I don't die.
Yeah, makes sense.
And otherwise, I'm crammed as some bleacher seat that you're paying more for anyway. Like, it's spring training. I don't need the best view. I want ambiance. When I'm in spring training.
And this is the question that I know everyone wants answered. You stared at Justin Upton's butt for the better part of what, you know, 18 innings now. Has that alleviated any of your worry about him?
You know, I was really worried before, but no, I'm not worried about Justin Upton. Should I say Justin Upton thoughts right now, or are we going to save it?
No, this is the only Justin Upton joke I have, so get them all out now.
It wasn't that funny. I mean, it was fine. Was it even a joke? It was just more a reference to our gag. Yes, thank you. All right, Justin Upton hit one to my right. Yeah, this is yesterday in Clearwater. He hit a bomb to my right that took one bounce and then hit the very last black chain link fence before it went out of the entire facility. And then the second bomb was even further. That was to my left, more towards center field. And it took one bounce, and it bounced over and out of the stadium and behind a pickup truck, which was parked beyond the road this little drive on the outside of the stadium. So they both bounced, but they were the second one was absolutely demolished.
Who, I wonder whose pickup truck it was. Maybe a former, you know, rival with the Padres, something like that.
Probably, yeah.
Definitely vengeance behind that home run.
Obviously. That's the only way home runs happen is somebody's pissed.
So I know that you don't miss hardly anything, but did you happen to catch the story about the UK's, Natural Environment Research Council's new, 288, had to get my commas correctly, $1 million polar research ship?
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about Bodie McBoatface?
Bodie McBoatface. For those of you who haven't heard, apparently it's this massively high-tech ship that's going to be one of the world's, and this is quote because this is their lingo, biggest research labs, and it'll be traveling to the Antarctic. They put it up to a vote to the UK public, and the name that won by a landslide is Bodie McBoatface.
It's like the animal, or they had name a zoo animal, and they had an owl that they named like Hootie McHooterface or something like that.
That's good. That's what polls should give you.
That's what you're walking into the internet. What do you expect?
The other choice was Attenborough, which is the guy that makes all the nature docs, which that would have been cool too because I like him. But if we're being honest, why wouldn't you have something that's just completely off the wall? Those cheeky Brits.
I imagine everybody's for Bodie McBoatface.
Do you think Obama would be stepping in if this were happening in America?
No. He knows. He knows better. Just let America writhe in their own filth. Think how many Us Weekly subscriptions there are. I mean, we're not a proud people.
Well put. Anyway, this brings us to this week's leadoff question. How would you creatively name your sailing vessel if you had one? And I put in parentheses, bonus points for Tiger's references.
Yeah, this is a big challenge. And I've drank a lot of beer, so I don't know. Although I was listening to the Levitard show, you know, the dude out of Miami. Mm-hmm. And Rob Gronkowski bought a boat. And they're trying to name it. And somebody came up with the SSTD, which works on multiple levels, and I thought was brilliant. So I don't know. What is it, a schooner? What type of boat are we looking at?
I mean, it could be anything. It could be a speedboat. It could be a float boat. Yeah. It could be a houseboat. It could be a river boat that's used for gambling. It's completely up to you.
I don't know. What do you have any ideas?
I wanted to make reference to one of my all-time favorite Tigers. So I was going to name it Spring Training Legend. And can you guess who it's in reference to?
Oh, yeah. I mean, somebody dominated. Is it, I don't know. Is it Don Kelly?
No,
it's Kelly.
It should all be always be Donnie.
Ryan Rayburn.
It's Rayburn this time.
Of course.
Of course. All right. It's
always either Kelly or Rayburn.
Yeah. In this part. And then once we get to Tiger's talk, it's always Blaine Kelly or Blaine Hardy.
Blaine Hardy, of course.
All right. We spent way too much time on this already. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can at podcastianos.com or on Twitter at JordanHall23. That's me. At Comeric Eric. That's Eric. And at Podcastianos. That's the show. And we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe to us on iTunes, rate, review.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
Okay, so we begin Tigers Talk this week where we usually end the show in the Twitter questions, and that's with Steven Moya. He's graduated into the heart of the running order with some absolutely scorching numbers this spring. Do you want to hear some numbers?
Yes.
Okay. He is third in average among the team, among roster contenders at .367. He's slugging .800 on the spring. And the league leader, Bryce Harper, last year, just as a frame of reference, slugged .649. And obviously that was during the regular season, not during the spring. And he's second in slugging among the roster contenders. He has 5 extra base hits in 30 at-bats, and that was going into maybe yesterday. Yep. So that may have changed.
And you have his numbers in front of you?
I do, actually.
Do you have his walks and
he has, I believe.
I'm almost as concerned about that.
He has 1 walk.
Right.
1 walk and 5 strikeouts, which 5 strikeouts is actually not terrible, but the 1 walk, that is disconcerting.
If he's going to be an all or nothing guy, he needs to walk more.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't he? He's going to be an all or, like, that's his DNA. He is an all or nothing guy for sure.
But those guys, you know, they need to, you need to walk more.
Yeah.
Adam Dunn. What was the pudgy dude played for Oakland for a while that everybody was excited about? But you need to walk more.
Brandon Moss, maybe? Is that who you're thinking of?
I don't know who I'm thinking of.
Or Rubio Durazo? Let's go way back.
I'll tweet it later and kick myself. But no, these guys need to – he needs to walk more.
Oh, definitely. That is a primary concern. Can he ever be – I mean, there are guys who don't walk. I mean, there are, but I don't know. Just for someone who's such a power threat and he's going to strike out so much, you got to have the walks. But he does.
We've talked about Steve. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that the majority of his extra base hits this spring have come against quality big league pitchers. Like it's not him, you know, mashing against some AA pitcher from the Pirates. He had a double off R.A. Dickey, who, let's not kid ourselves, he's not.
I think we've spent.
Go ahead.
I think it's amazing how much time we've spent talking about Stephen Moya.
All right.
I mean, is it just because he's enormous and we like, you know, chicks dig the long ball?
I guess.
I think it is.
I think we should talk, before we move on from him, I think we should talk about what do we do with him. Obviously, we sent him down this past, yesterday. But what do we do with him for the course of the season? I came up with three options, and I'll let you kind of dissect. You can keep him as a fifth outfielder, you know, rotate him in at the corners, DH, pinch hit, whatever. But in that case, you lose either your ability to carry Maben as a second center fielder, or you lose one of your redundant twins, and he doesn't get a ton of at-bats. You send him to Toledo, but you worry about him maybe getting a little overseasoned down there. And it's still a full 2 years before any real spot comes open. Or you could trade him, you know, fill a hole at the deadline. I mean, he's played well enough this spring that I think he forces you to kind of make a call. I mean, wouldn't you say?
I think you stash him in Toledo. Let him play every day yet. The only thing, if I'm a coach in Toledo, I'm working with him on play discipline. That's, we know you know, no, you can mash the ball out of the ball. So I keeping him in Toledo. I think there's much he can learn yet.
So we move on from the new bright spot of Moya to kind of a familiar bleak one, and I'll let the great at Comerica Eric sum this one up for us. At least we have experience holding together a bullpen with spare parts and tape. First, it was Alex Wilson, the tender shoulder. Next, Angel Nesbitt's sizable right ankle was sprained. And now our beloved Blaine Hardy is on the shelf with, and I had to look this one up, a slight shoulder impingement. Have you ever impinged your shoulder?
Oh, yeah. Every day I'm impinging it. It sucks.
Just like shuffling? Is that kind
of? Yeah. Every day I'm pinging in.
So Wilson and Nesbitt have been ruled out for opening day. Blaine is kind of still a question. Naturally, Tigers fans, our first inclination is to just fly off the handle about the bullpen. Are you nervous? And do you think Tigers Twitter should have freaked out kind of like they did?
I'm a little nervous. I honestly am. We need a couple more guys to be good. And I'm looking at what we have left and who's available to go. And you're putting a lot of trust in guys who are little. I mean, Rondon looked like poo today. Lendy Castillo, who, you know, might be an option, look like poo. We're running out of non-poo options.
Yeah, I think, to me, you have K-Rod, who's coming off a fantastic season.
Yes.
Mark Lowe is good. And Justin Wilson, I know that he's had a rough spring, but he was really good last year. And we talked about this on the Bless You Boys podcast. He's trying to add a new pitch. So that's going to throw you out of your normal pitching rhythms in spring.
Yeah. You just trust him.
You trust him. Beyond that,
right.
Verhagen has had an up and down spring. He's been better recently. But over the last 20 games of last year, 2.05 ERA, one home run allowed. That's good. Mm-hmm. That's major league hitters that he's facing in major league situations. And Kyle Ryan has been really good this spring. Not that always translates. I think we have five not terrible options to bring out of the bullpen.
I think that's right. And now if you take the loser of the Green Boyd farmer battle. You know, that's one guy. But what after I saw today with either Bruce Rondon or Lendy Castillo, one of these really rocket throwing guys, even Parnell, you know, Parnell looked better today. But do you take a guy who's a little longer innings eater and a little bit more less flashy, but maybe more moderate and like a Buck Farmer?
I think you have to take one of those three at this point. The loser of Green, Boyd, and Buck, or one of the two losers, I guess. And it kind of seems like Green is the winner. So I would assume
Green is the winner, probably.
I would assume.
Although the washed out gain, Green looked like poo.
Yeah, but that never happened.
That never happened. Good for him. Yeah.
Obviously. So, yeah, I mean, I think one of those guys has to be. And at the moment, it's probably Buck, which blows my mind that he's even close to making the roster at this point. There's, you know, we talked about Parnell. You said he looked halfway decent.
He looked better today. Absolutely froze a guy with 96 mile per hour fastball, just spotted really well. So, I mean, if you're getting 96 from Parnell,
and if you keep him, give him, you know, 2 or 3 weeks run.
Right.
And, yep, you know, who knows where you're at. You talked about Lendy. Is Lendy a flamethrower? I don't know the first thing about him, if we're being honest.
Yeah, he was throwing mid-90s.
Nice. That's better than not being mid-90s.
Yeah.
So one point that I wanted to make about why Tigers Twitter should just stop freaking out is Blaine Hardy and Alex Wilson
are coming back.
Yes, yeah. They're racing against the clock to get back for opening day, not the All-Star break or like the trade deadline. Right. If they don't get back, you know, we miss them for half a month, even a full month. Like, that's not the end of the world.
I'm with you.
All right,
good. That's good. But we have a lot more options this year than last year because we've secured the back end. Last year, Alex Wilson was closing ball games.
Yeah, definitely. And he was, you know, and then we had to work up spring training.
Right. And then we had to work up from there. Now Alex Wilson is like our sixth guy.
Yeah, he's to get you out of jams, which is probably what he should be, you know, kind of an Al get you. Well, not that Al ever got us out of any jams, but
it just tells you what it was last year.
Yeah.
It stank.
Yeah. And, you know, I get the whole, you know, let's fly off the handle immediately because it has been so bad. But, you know, we talked about that we have five pretty decent options at the moment. We'll be up to six or seven soon enough. How many teams do have seven great options that they can roll out of their bullpen?
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Outside of the Royals last year, you know, teams aren't blessed with seven or eight great relievers.
You're constantly rotating those guys. You know, it's a good problem for us to be talking on the podcast about our sixth and seventh relievers and not talking about a second baseman or a left fielder. Like, who's going to play these positions?
Yeah, exactly. It, like the Indians.
Yeah, what's their deal? Like, they have no outfielders or what?
Yeah.
I don't really follow other teams.
You should have re-signed Rayburn.
Absolutely.
Did you see that they're keeping Jabba and releasing Gorzolani, which is opposite of we released really? Jabba, sent Gorzolani down, and then brought him back up. So
good luck to them with those two guys.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know how
with
that's
one of those at this point, because yeah. Gorzy's gone. Do you want to talk Boyd versus Green, or have we beat that to death?
I think we've talked enough about those guys. I mean, one of the two is going to make it, right? It's probably not.
They have. I mean, at this point, they have to.
Yeah. So it's not going to be Buck. I mean,
no.
It's Green or Boyd. Take your pick. I think maybe you send the loser of that battle to AAA and start, because you're going to need a starter, you know, emergency starter at some place.
Yeah.
Is it Buck?
No.
I mean,
I don't want to see Buck starting games. I think Buck's probably going to come out of the bullpen for the first 2 or 3 weeks of the year and then send him down, stretch him back out. That'd be kind of...
We said earlier that the loser was going to go to the bullpen. So Green or Boyd? Green makes the team. Where do you do with Boyd?
I'm sending him to Toledo and using Buck as a reliever.
Okay. And now Boyd, let's say Boyd's the man. What do you do with Green?
That's trickier. I think you got to hang on to Green at that point. Which I don't necessarily Like, that's, I don't think that's long term best, but yeah. I think it'd be really harsh on Green to send him down. He's looked good, barring the last washout game aside.
Right.
So I'm keeping him.
All right. We've talked so much about these like last couple pitchers. Let's stop doing that.
Yeah. It like you said, it is nice that it's not a primary position that we're talking though.
Exactly. Yeah.
Little bit older news at this point, but Daniel Norris, the man that we all wish we were, is headed to this disabled list. He has a non-displaced fracture in his spinous process. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sure. Osma said that
according to my internet radio medical license, that is completely accurate.
Osma said that Rand said that it's not as bad as it sounds, which is good because from a non-medical perspective, that sounds really, really bad.
Yeah, it does sound bad. And he heard it. I understand he heard it jumping on boxes.
Yeah. Box jumping, which
box jumping
is something that athletic people do, I would assume.
Do you remember the Cespedes like scouting video? Like half of the video was like him jumping on enormous piles of boxes in a tight shirt. Like, I don't understand that completely. Never exercise. That's the way you don't get hurt. Don't exercise.
Do you think Bartolo Colon exercises? And look at him. 20 years later, he's still in a major league rotation.
I think he would be good at like sauntering. He seems like a good saunterer.
Like saunter from one pole to the other in the outfield.
Maybe step it up to a mosey, but that's about the exercise he's getting.
Yeah, definitely. We said he probably wasn't going to make the team anyway. So if Green starts the year lights out and Norris comes back, he's going to be headed to Toledo, correct? I mean, there's no reason to think that he's guaranteed a spot when he comes back.
No, not necessarily. No. But you're solving a problem that we don't have, and that is Green being lights out.
I think we're going to have it. I have a little bit more faith in him, but I'm a big Green guy. The arm, the stuff is there. I'm a sucker for stuff. I think he can really do things. I told you many, many podcasts ago that I think he's going to start more games this year than Norris.
Than Norris? Yeah.
Okay, so there were Kyle Loesch, of all people, rumors flying on Thursday. Did you see those? What did you think about that?
Well, from what I understand, like the Tigers were going to send somebody or they had somebody who was going to watch him work out. But almost like every team does that. So it sounded like the report was confirming that the Tigers are going to have somebody there. It didn't strike me as they're hot and heavy on him.
That's good. I mean, if he were willing to accept going to Toledo for a month, 2 months, 3 months, and seeing what happens, then absolutely, by all means. But I don't.
What's the story on Kyle Loesch? My understanding was that last year he was a hot mess, but the 2 or 3 years previous to that, he was quite serviceable.
Yes, that's the exact story on him. He's had a very long career. He's been around forever, but last year he was a, as you would say, poo.
Mm.
Yeah, and like I put in the notes for you, we've had a lot of reclamation success, but this, I don't know. He's probably, I should have looked this up, but he's pushing 37, 38. Like he's got to be towards the end of his rope.
I can't see him being better than a guy like Buck Farmer, who you're already trying to develop and have.
Exactly. And I would assume probably cost less.
Yes.
Okay. Are you ready to get to some observations?
Yeah, sure. I've been watching baseball for the last 3 days. We've dodged some weather. The first day, like we said, we got rained out, and we got back to the car just before the deluge started. So that was pretty bad. Some thoughts from spring training. I feel like we should have some music for this.
I'll put that in post.
Thoughts
just
with
kidding.
Eric.
I'm not going to do that.
That's a little labor intensive. Seems like work. I told you about the Upton's dingers. Which was really important because, I had confidence in him, but nobody else seemed to.
Clearly.
So he actually destroyed two baseballs. So it was fun watching them actually go past me while I was on the berm. So that was fun. Those are both in Clearwater.
Before you move on, ball's coming your way. Do you drop everything and sprint, or are you going to watch the guys who go for it?
You know, I'm gonna do a middle, a I'm going to do a happy medium. I'm going to put down my items and take a couple steps and evaluate, is this going to be close enough for me to make an effort? Because I don't want to just go all out and then realize I'm a tool. I'm like running way too far to try for this. But I don't want to be non-ready if it is indeed coming close enough for. So I'm going to just kind of half-ass it.
I feel like that's the appropriate answer to that question.
Thank you.
You get a point.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Other thoughts, like I kind of identify with the fringe players more. Is this weird? Maybe it's just low self-esteem. Maybe I'm a beta. I don't know. But like all the, you know, the big shots in the dugout, I'm watching the bullpen. I like to watch the bullpen guys. So, you know, we have a handful of guys that we took from Lakeland, you know, Confessor Lara and Lendy are there and they're just hanging out. And a couple of the other guys, Warwick Saupold, I don't know how you say his name, our Australian friend was there. And I was just like, oh, those guys are hanging out. I like to watch them. I don't know why. Speaking of the bullpen, because we were right out there by the berm and in Clearwater, the bullpens are right out there. So it's getting to the last innings. K-Rod is going to come in the game. So he's warming up and throwing his pitches and he's got a routine and he kind of stops and watches the game and then he'll throw a few more pitches. And finally he decides, okay, he's got enough pitches in. So he takes his hat off and kind of throws it on the ground. And the bullpen coach is there watching everything that they do because that's what bullpen coaches do.
Literally his job, yes.
Exactly. And so this is Mick, Bill Meyer. Which is, yes, I do know our bullpen coach's name, which is maybe a sign of the disease. But anyway, so Mick has got his towel over his shoulder and he's just watching K-Rod. And K-Rod takes a little break and Mick kind of saunters over to him and says absolutely nothing. And he just hands him a towel. And K-Rod wipes his brow off and kind of, you know, looks serious. And he hands it back to Mick and Mick throws it over his shoulder, takes a couple steps back. And I'm watching this just laughing. And I'm standing right there and I go, hey, good job, Mick. And I got to give him a applause. Like everybody's watching K-Rod and I'm watching Mick. And so Mick kind of does this half turn, not a full turn. He doesn't look at me, kind of tips his turns his head and then he sticks out his thumb and gives it like a real aggressive thumbs up. And then he turns back and I died. I thought it was hilarious. So he couldn't acknowledge me, but he kind of gave this half thumbs up and he's doing and saying nothing. He's a towel stand at this point. Francisco Rodriguez has done this 100 times. He knows exactly what he's doing. But anyway,
I really like watching the bullpens. I always make Whitney come and stand by me while I watch in the bullpen. She obviously loves that because we couldn't sit down or anything.
But it's
just so funny because you assume that these guys, you know, are robots. They have like this process down. They do this and then this and then this and this and then they go pitch. Whereas, you know, it seems like they all just kind of do stuff at random. Like occasionally they'll get up and just chuck the medicine or the weighted balls right at the wall a few times and, you know, yep, shake out the arms. And I'm sure that there's probably a little bit more to it than what you see, but it just looks like you guys are just doing random crap to fill the time.
Oh yeah. They got the elastic bands like tied to the chain link fence and they're pulling them or whatever. I don't know. It's smart to warm up, you know, loosen the muscles. But after that, I have no idea what they're doing. So that was that. At Joker Marchant again today, there's a lot of construction. The big structure is going up beyond the right field fence, and it's desperately needed, especially Joker is just showing its age. In Lakeland, every chance that they get, they make it their duty to remind people that the Tigers in the city of Lakeland have the longest standing relationship of any baseball club and city, so that was good. But this was a World War II surplus air base or whatever, so it's
real.
The hangars are still there. Oh yeah, well that's the Flying Tigers. That's why they call them. Yeah, of course. So there is $44 million worth of improvements planned for there, and you know that might seem like a lot, but compared to like the contracts these baseball guys are getting, if you can pull a couple and develop a couple players out of there, that's a bargain. $44 million seems cheap.
That's true. I didn't even think about it like that, but you're absolutely right.
Definitely. So it's a little hard to watch games at Joker right now. They have a scoreboard, but it's tiny, and it's like in center field, you can hardly see it from the berm. Although it is a little refreshing because there is no video board.
That's true.
Like even in Clearwater, there's a big video board and they show the hostess or whatever. But there was something kind of simple and pleasurable about no video board at Joker today.
Interesting. Yeah. A lot of the ones down the Gulf side don't have a video board. Bradenton, they don't have one.
Okay.
In Port Charlotte, they don't have one either. But that's just because the county runs the stadium and they're far too cheap to have that. Yeah.
I've only been to three. I've been to Clearwater, I've been to Joker, and I've been to the Disney.
Oh, yeah.
Champions Field, the ironically named Champions Field for the Braves.
You should definitely hit up Bradenton. It's so old school. There's a ton of charm. And it was a lot better.
Is that Pirates?
Yes. When the Pirates were terrible, no one would ever go, and you could be right on top of the field. You know, they more or less sell out most of the games now, but it's still a really cool place to go.
I've heard Dunedin is kind of a dump, too.
I don't even know what side of the state that's on.
It's on the left side. It's left and up of Clearwater yet. Other random thoughts. Joker Martian Stadium features the least rowdy tailgating you will ever see in America. Like two old people pull out their, you know, woven aluminum folding chairs and like are having a soda together.
To be fair, that's what the state of Florida is, in general.
I feel so young. I see vigorous and vibrant and virile down here. It's good for my self-esteem.
Absolutely.
I can tell you beer tastes better in the sunshine.
I bet.
It's delicious. So we went to the beach last night, and just at the ball game where it's sunny out in the berm, it's just amazing that people come in all shapes, sizes, and colors. I mean, the diversity of people is fascinating, and there are some characters, let me tell you. And wear sunscreen, people. Oh, did we see some red folks?
The thing about sunscreen is I don't understand how we're in 2016 and they still don't have a sunscreen that doesn't make you feel like you want to just claw your skin off. Like, can't we make something that's more like a lotion and less like, you know, nasty toxic chemicals going on your skin? You know what I mean?
How did we last so long as a society without sunscreen? Like,
that's a good point, too.
You know, it's like, what's the movie? Wall-E. Like, we've just devolved into blobs of whiteness that we can't even stay in the sun.
Yeah, Abraham and Moses probably didn't have their SPF 30s. That'd be my guess anyway.
We're weakening as a species.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mentally and physically.
For sure. Okay. That's my spring training thoughts. No, I'm not breaking down any pitch sequences. It's spring training. I want beer and sunshine. And food.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
All right, ready to hit some Twitter questions?
Yeah.
All right, we have a few interesting ones from the people. Let me get back to the start. Jim Price, this is from Hookslide, at Hookslide BYB, who's from the Bless You Boys podcast. Jim Price is worried that Ian Kinsler used up all his good hitting mojo in spring training. And also, how many nachos is too many? Which I feel like you're uniquely qualified to answer.
Today, I extended my streak to four. Today was the fourth consecutive day I've consumed nachos. Consecutively, there's no limit. You could have them every day. In one sitting, you want to be careful because you don't want tummy aches.
Absolutely. Do you go all out, salsa, jalapenos, etc.? Or are
yes.
you?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Not, it's not, man's game, Jordan. Not,
at ChrisGross26 asks us, where does Brad Ausmus rank on the list of MLB's sexiest coaches?
He's got to be first, doesn't he?
I can't say that I've power ranked that. I mean, that's kind of more your department. But I mean,
actually, Craig Calcaterra has. He did last year sexiest managers.
Hmm. Well, so if you're curious, hardball, Google
yeah,
that.
Hardball talk. Craig Calcaterra, you can see.
Alex Savoda says, if you created a new number, what would it be called, and what two numbers would it be in between?
I would call it. I don't know. Do you have an idea? We're inventing new numbers?
Yes. I spent a long time thinking about this, and everything that I tried to spit off my tongue came out as a number we already have.
Okay, so I'm gonna say thrived. or yeah, because we have 11, which is not one teen.
It's true.
And you have 12, which is not two teen. Maybe those are the numbers. That's the numbers I want to invent. One teen and two teen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise you're making like threeve and fourve.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
Yeah, it should be one teen and two teen.
And three teen, and then you get to 14.
Yeah,
so you need to reinvent
three teen.
At the fake Ned says, can you check out this rash for me?
Yeah, send pictures. I mean, I have a podcast medical license. We talked about this.
Already established that. Yeah. At Jeff Hopman, given how the reviews for Batman versus Superman were disappointing, which Tigers dugout brawl would also likely disappoint?
Oh, something would just like devolve into a slap fight. I don't know. Iglesias like kind of struts around, but I think he would be a pretty bad fighter.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And then also Romine.
Yeah, Romine's definitely never been in a fight, for sure.
I mean, he's probably watched his buddy like fight for him or something like that, but not actually fighting himself.
Yeah. I don't think
they just threw him under the bus for no reason.
I don't Andrew, think Ghost fine. Would be a very good fighter either.
Right. I don't know. Oh, yeah. See, Andrew's got his brother Austin, who seems like a burlier dude and could do most of the fighting.
Yeah, but maybe that means that Andrew needed to stick up for himself as a kid. Maybe he's got a little more experience than we were giving him credit for.
I like how we're just inventing a family history for this poor family we know nothing about.
Yeah, Austin was clearly the aggressor. All right, let's move on. Anthony, I'm going to go with Troya. I would like to know which reliever is poised to do some damage this year, not K-Rod too easy.
I'm going to say Lowe.
I could see that. Lowe. Definitely.
Lowe's going
to
be good.
I could not to get too stat nerdy on you, but I could see Lowe leading baseball in holds this year.
Sure. Nobody knows what a hold really is, but he's going to lead in that.
Definitely. I'm going to go with Verhagen just because I'm contractually obligated to.
That's a good choice.
Let's see. Robert Baker says, which home improvement project threshold are you willing to take on? Tile the bathroom, install a light, lay a new patio.
The patio, I have more experience with excavating type things. The patio, I think I could do.
Oh.
What were my other choices? Tile? See, tile is kind of fussy. You got to cut it right. And no, I've tiled. I've ceramic tiled a bathroom floor. And it looked serviceable.
That's all you can ask for, really.
Yeah, it wasn't awesome. It was good.
Bob Vila's like, probably not coming to your house to
ashamed
inspect
of
it.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't ashamed of it, but it was eh. And so what was the other thing? Change a light bulb?
Install a light. I'm assuming like a fixture as opposed to, I mean, I'm assuming that he assumes we can change light bulbs.
Yeah, a fixture is easy. I mean, you just match up the colors.
Yeah. low-key, I'm not doing any of these. Okay.
Are you not handy?
I am not handy in the least.
So does your spouse, like, do all the little construction projects?
She would be the one who puts together our stuff from IKEA. But that's more because I don't have the patience to follow instructions than I couldn't actually do it. Like, if I sat down and was like, all right, I need to do this to save my life, I definitely could. It's just I have a hard time. I don't like to be told what to do. I mean, who does?
Okay, move on.
All right, that is the last one. Let's move on to your power rankings.
Oh, power rankings. Okay, so these are going to be amazing.
Oh, I'm sure.
I just came up with these right now. So, okay. Of course, we have choices, naturally. We have models of minivan.
I was just thinking today, maybe tonight's the night. We'll see.
You know, it's a solid power ranking category, models of minivan. And we also have things to consume at the ballpark. So this is ballpark food and drinks.
That just feels topical. How could we not do that tonight?
Yeah. Okay, that sounds like a good topic for right now. Okay, here we go. So we got the top seven and, of course, the bottom three. Coming in at number seven, and it's only this low because it's really a situational treat, and that is the frozen lemonade. Now, if you're in this going to the ballgame in the summer and it's hot, you want the frozen lemonade because it's like condensating and the cool water is just dripping off the glass and you want to like splash it on your arms. And it's refreshing and icy. It's good. It's frozen lemonade. That's number seven.
Got nothing to add. I agree. That's good. Good, solid choice.
All right. It's only so low because it's situational, mm-hmm. right? Number six. Barbecued meats.
Oh, yeah.
These are a little hard to find. You know, they're not a staple, but many ballparks are featuring now barbecued meat. At Comerica, they have brisket. That is really good. You can get pulled pork sandwiches. This is a nice solid choice. Make sure you add extra barbecue sauce if that is an option.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. That's number six. Number five. And these drive me insane, mostly because of the smell. And that is the candied roasted almond things. You know what I mean? Like the German roasted almonds.
You can't be in the zip code of that without smelling it.
Right. There's a particular entrance at Comerica, like the further across from Chelly's Chili, when you walk into that entrance. And the whole area just has the aroma of those roasted almond things. They do that on purpose. They infuse like crack into the aroma. It's just like a half tap, and they come in this little cone. Like no other food is coming in a cone bag.
Yeah, that's kind of frustrating. Do you pour? Like, do you take it out with your fingers? Like, what's going on with that?
Yeah, I mean, I just reach in and pull them out.
You get a spoon, but it's kind of, then you don't have to touch it.
No, stop it, Jordan. A spoon. Listen to yourself. The cone is a little sad, though, because as you're eating, you know with each bite, the surface area is getting smaller as you consume, right? It's not getting bigger. It's not even staying the same. Like the trigonometry on this is getting small. The rate of change is descending, and that's sad. About just put in a regular cup, I think. But I don't know. It's a distinctive cone-shaped bag. They're so delicious, though. Oh, okay. Number four. Number four really hinges on the strength of beer, which we're going to talk about later. Spoiler alert. But that's peanuts. Peanuts in the shell. They're a traditional baseball food. They give you something to kind of do with your hands, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And they're tasty. They're peanuts. And they're salty. They make the beer even better. Peanuts is number four.
Yeah, it's kind of just your staple.
Yeah, and just throw them all over. Make a mess because you're at a ballpark. That's what you're supposed to do. Don't put them in a cup. Just scatter them. There are people who come, you know, it's part of your ticket. They come clean those shells up.
And plus, if they catch dirt, they might grow up to be a peanut plant.
What?
Pretty sure that's how it works.
All right.
Agriculture.
All right. Number three, and that is hot dogs. Hot dogs are a good ballpark food. They're simple. You can have them delivered to you, which is kind of a unique thing. Or you just go to the stand and you get a hot dog. They're cheap-ish, you know, in the scheme of ballpark things. That's hot dogs. They're good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Number two is beer. beer is expensive at a ballpark, and the reason is that it's expensive is that it's good. Beer is good. Beer has alcohol in it, which is really nice, sets the mood. It's refreshing. It's sweet in kind of an interesting way. It's got bubbles. It tastes delicious. It's beer. Yeah. Please drink responsibly. 21 and over only, please. Beer.
I got nothing to add. You pretty much covered it all.
You know, you can drink cheap beer and nobody's going to judge you at a ballpark. You know, just get a Coors Light or a Miller Light or whatever.
I think that implies that there is cheap beer at a ballpark.
Yeah, I mean, no, it's not cheap. It's unsophisticated beer. But more and more parks are offering fancy beer, which I usually choose to get. The dollar or two extra you're going to pay for the fancy beer is worth it.
Do you drink it with your pinky in the air?
Yeah, like I put my nose up and look down at all the people who are drinking unsophisticated beer.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah. Number one is, do you want to guess? I always offer.
I'm going to go with Hot and Ready's at Comerica.
Stop it. Hot and Ready's is nachos. Nachos is the greatest food ever.
Okay, yeah. I thought that you already said that one. My bad. I definitely would have gone. Yeah.
Nachos. Nachos are crispy. They got the chips. That's really good. Now, if you're getting ballpark nachos, you're getting the yellow pudding type cheese. That's okay. That's all right. You just go with it. But if you can get fancy nachos, definitely go for the nachos. But nachos are spicy, kind of salty. They go good with beer, which is, you know, a very close number two. And they're just delightful. And I've had nachos 4 days straight now. I love nachos so much. If I could eat nothing but nachos, I would.
See, you say that you just go with the pudding cheese, pumper cheese. Yeah. I'm aware that it is like the worst thing in the world for you, but I kind of dig the pumper cheese. Like Taco Bell pumper cheese, give me that all day.
I mean, don't ask too many questions of it. No. Just consume it blindly.
It's cheese, eat it.
It's cheese resembling product stuff. Don't think too hard. Okay, the bottom three are this. The third from the bottom is pop. Pop. You can get pop anywhere. It's not alcoholic even. Come on. Don't waste your money to get pop at the ballpark. Even kids should be getting like a lemonade or something. Don't drink pop.
Fair enough.
Or soda if you don't live in one of the more reasonable places on Earth.
It's pop. Definitely.
Thank you. Pop. Number three is burgers. Burgers aren't really a ballpark food. Sure. You still got to put toppings on it. It's kind of cumbersome. Go get a burger someplace else, not at a ball game. If you're at a ball game, you eat a hot dog.
Absolutely. They call them ballpark hot dogs for a reason.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. So the top worst thing that you can get at the ballpark is popcorn. Popcorn is like eating like a giant bag of insulation. You know, it's worthless. You keep eating it, but it's not really there. It makes a mess. Like, I don't want popcorn. Popcorn is for a movie, not at a ball game. Don't eat popcorn unless it's got caramel on it at a ball game.
See, I'm all about that popcorn. I would never pay the money to get it at a ballpark or at the movies, but I would like to have them at those places.
Popcorn's a fine food. Just not at a ball game.
Okay, are you ready to get to the game that you prepared for us?
Yeah, I like how you blindly accepted my game proposal. This is a little different than our normal games where there's a certain correct answer. I like to call this one Spring Baseball Moral Dilemmas.
Yeah, this one sounded topical. I thought we had to get to this one this week.
All right.
No matter how this goes.
One of the observations I had today was the people coming around and selling 50-50 raffle tickets. This is a very popular fundraiser. Are you familiar with the 50-50 premise?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. So you buy a ticket, and everybody who buys the tickets, half of the pool goes to charity and half goes to the winner. So the question becomes this. If you were to win the 50-50 raffle, would you pocket that money or would you give that to the charity? Basically, there's two schools of thought here. Either you are trying for a prize in buying a ticket, or I'm giving to a charity here. So if you win the prize, what are you doing with the prize?
I don't know if this is healthy or not, but I think I'm qualifying this. Depends on how much the prize is and what the charity is. Like there are, sure. there are
okay,
some,
so for,
oh, go ahead.
So at Joker today, it was like just over $3,000 and it was for the Boys and Girls Club of Lakeland.
I don't know exactly what the Boys and Girls Club do, but I feel like that's a fairly worthwhile, you know,
sure.
if it's north of a grand, I'm probably pocketing that boy. But if it's less than that, you know, maybe I'll let that slide. I don't know. I'm not in a financial position to give away all that much money.
So you're not hundreds of dollars greedy, but you're thousands of dollars greedy. Is that what you're saying?
That seems fair. Yeah.
That's reasonable. I don't know. I don't know what I do. It's a moral dilemma.
I think it's one of those things buying, that you don't know who you are until you're in that position.
Right. It just makes you more of who you already are.
Reveals character.
That's right. I don't know. I would like to think I would just be like, I'm getting a 50-50 raffle ticket. It's for charity. Mm-hmm. If I happen to win, you'd say, no, thank you. You know, I bought this for charity. But like you said, I'm kind of with you. It depends on how much it is.
And I think if it was some sort of veteran charity, it would for sure be a donate.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's certain other things that probably would be for sure's too.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's number one.
That's a good one.
You win the point for number one.
Oh, nice.
All right. Moral dilemma number two, and I got to watch this firsthand today, and that is there is a ball, a foul ball, or even a home run ball, coming at you. You scamper a little ways to collect the ball, and you turn around, and coming up to you, there are a number of children. Mm-hmm. All right. So do you give the ball to a child or do you keep the baseball? Oh. You know, you're a grown man, right, Jordan?
Some would say that. Yeah, I guess.
You're a grown man. Are you going to pocket the ball or are you going to give it to a child?
I'm going to qualify this again. Depends on who hit the ball. If it's if it's JD, I might pocket that thing. But if it's Sheerholtz, I'm giving it to a kid.
Really? That's interesting.
just JD, for Rayburn, Don Kelly. Probably those three. Anyone else? Or
the Trinity, yeah.
But
for me, the question becomes, how far away is the child? Like, ooh, if yeah. I'm sitting in a row by myself and I collect it right near me and there's no children in the immediate vicinity, like they didn't try for it. They're not scrambling for it. I just got the ball. And then one comes like running up out of nowhere. You're too late. No, yeah, this absolutely. Is my ball. But if there's like children in my immediate vicinity and I happen to come up with it and like maybe even they were efforting for it or they were running up and came close to it, I'm going to give the ball.
I think it's within a first down in any direction when you touch the ball.
Okay. All right. Explain that to me.
10 yards, you know, in a circumference okay. around right. you. If they're within that arc, then yes, you hand it over. If they're outside the 10-yard arc when you touch the ball, that ball's yours.
Yeah. It doesn't matter how adorable the child is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if it's
yeah.
If it's like some bratty 12-year-old kid.
No, just like, by the time you're 12, you're not a kid anymore. You get your own balls. I was talking like 5, 6, 7. Like,
yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too.
Yeah.
No. I want to see, you know, big doe eyes with a little bit of tears that they didn't get.
Quivering lip. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, certainly the quivering lip. And then I want to give them the ball and feel just like this welling of moral superiority inside me.
Yeah. Are you a Seinfeld fan?
I've watched
there's one where Seinfeld. where Jerry, I forget what he does, but he you know, filled with self-confidence, he goes, I am special. Maybe my parents were right about me. You know, that kind of feeling.
Does your mom think you're handsome too, Jordan?
What was that?
Does your mom think you're handsome too?
I would assume so. I don't have no reason to think she doesn't.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
See, maybe your parents are right. So, yes, parents love their children.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay, this is our last and final moral dilemma, and that is this. I bring a backpack into the ball game for some waters and sunscreen, and if the weather's bad, you know, a jacket or whatever. So I enter the ball game, and you're allowed takes sealed water, which mm-hmm. makes some sense. But also in the backpack, I had forgotten I had a couple granola bars in there. Now they open my bag and they're probing with the magic wand dowel, you know, mm-hmm. rooting through my stuff. They found no contraband, and I was allowed to enter the ballpark. Now later in the game, it was kind of I had my beer, so I ate my granola bar. Mm-hmm. You know, I ate the contraband. I eliminated the evidence. So my question becomes: if you're pretty confident you can get away with it, and you usually can, do you smuggle food into the ballpark?
Oh yeah, if you can slip one by the goalie, you got to.
Okay. All
definitely.
Right.
It's ballpark. If this is something that they could change if they wanted to. If they wanted to prevent us from eating, you know, the food, then make the food reasonable in the ballpark. If
yeah.
not,
okay.
we're going to smuggle stuff in our backpacks and we're going to eat our cheap Walmart stuff, you know, while we're sitting out on
right.
the berm.
Right. I mean, there's no like real safety concern about
no.
this.
It's strictly money making.
Right. And I tell you what, it's golden. You know, I don't want to be cheap. Right. I don't want to be like the guy who, you know, is just bringing stuff in to be a cheapskate. But like we went with our kids, like, you know, you bring juice boxes and crackers and stuff like that. And they don't really raise an eye because it's like, no, this is stuff for our kids.
Yeah. You and know, you can't get juice boxes and crackers at any of the concession stands.
Right. Right. So I feel like there's some leniency there. I don't feel too bad. Because it's like this huge multi-million-dollar corporation. But
yeah.
I know it's violating the spirit of the law to smuggle in food.
And to make it up to Mr. I, we'll both buy some, you know, bite, sip, sips this summer.
Absolutely. And I'm telling you, I'm more than compensating in the amount of super expensive beer that I bought.
See, it all evens out.
Big glass of beer. I mean, yeah, it does even out. I'm sorry, Mr. Illich, but I smuggled in a granola bar. My bad. That's it.
That's a good game.
That's Moral Dilemmas.
We should play that. Think of more. We'll play that again some point the rest of
I don't know if there are more.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can at the podcast or just regular podcastianos.com. On Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at Comerica Eric. The show is at Podcastianos, and we'd love it if you'd subscribe, rate, and review us. And if this is enough for you and you want more of myself and Eric, you can actually check us out on the Bless You Boys podcast. That was this past week, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that was fun.
It all kind of runs together. We did about an hour and a half with Hookslide, and it was a good time.
An hour and a half. I can't imagine talking for an hour and a half. Actually, I can because we did.
I can't imagine listening for an hour and a half. That's the part that I struggle with.
Talking was easy. Bless you if you were listening to it.
If you want to, I'm sure the file size and the thing is massive. just take up all of your data for the month to connect to Wi-Fi and then download it.
Yeah, be smart. Don't LTE download.
Do you have anything else to say to the people before we get out of here for the night?
No, we've talked too much already. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, we'll catch you guys next week. And eat them up, Tigers. Eat them up.
Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.